Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, February 10th, 2015. I'm Maya Williams. LA city workers took to the streets at several dozen work sites in protest of budget cuts to city services. Andrew Tweedy reports.
Workers and residents joined today at Dockweiler Beach wearing costumes adorned with trash. They say the city needs more staff to clean up its clogged storm drains. Gilda Valdez is the director of a union-affiliated group called the Fix LA Coalition.
What we're saying to the mayor is we've had enough of this. We need the resources to be able to provide the proper services to our city.
More than 60 job sites around the city are seeing demonstrations today, including the Department of Transportation, LAX, and the LA Zoo. The city is engaged in labor talks with several city unions to renew worker contracts that expired last July. LA Mayor Eric Garcetti said he's confident that city employees will do their jobs effectively, even with the widespread protests today. Garcetti added that the city has recently made what he called real progress toward an agreement with the workers' unions. Andrew Tweedy, Annenberg Radio News.
An LA County report concludes serious health issues are linked to the lack of affordable housing. Roughly 17% of adult residents live in unhealthy conditions and struggle to pay their mortgage. The average renter earns around $8 an hour less than is needed to pay for a two-bedroom apartment. Residents also face dangerous mold, rats, and lack of hot water. The stress caused by this financial pressure can lead to serious mental health issues. The Los Angeles City Council voted today to pass a bill creating a $50,000 standing reward for information leading to an arrest in a hit-and-run accident. Breanne Tracy has this report.
Damian Kevitt knows the effects of a hit-and-run crime all too well.
I was on a bicycle on a Sunday morning with my wife, and I was hit, and the individual who hit me never stopped. And I ended up losing my right leg, broke 20 bones, was in the hospital for 4 months.
Kevitt's accident happened in February of 2013 in Griffith Park. Now, 2 years later, he's standing up to the crime that almost took his life. Today, he came to the steps of City Hall side-by-side with council members and LAPD officers in support for a new initiative to cut the number of hit-and-runs. Over 7,500 hit-and-runs that involve serious injury take place on the streets of Los Angeles every year. But here on the steps of City Hall, lawmakers are hoping to bring an end to that crime.
Only 20% of these crimes are solved. 80% remain unsolved. We're going to change that moving forward today.
The LAPD and California Department of Transportation are turning to social media and the public eye to help solve hit-and-runs. The Medina Alert System sends out push notifications to users in the area of a hit-and-run and posts messages of traffic signs to get out the word. Damian Kevitt hopes no one ever has to go through the trauma of a hit-and-run, but says it's the job of survivors to push initiatives like the Medina Alert System to be implemented.
The number of people that I've touched and the lives that I've definitely saved as a result of the campaign and as a result of what I had to go through, that's something to be proud of.
Breanne Tracy, Annenberg Radio News.
Today, evidence was released confirming the death of ISIS hostage Kayla Mueller. Both President Obama and Senator Barbara Boxer made statements in her honor. Mueller's aunt, Lori Lyon, also spoke out.
Kayla has touched the heart of the world. The world grieves with us. The world mourns with us. The world wants to be more like Kayla. And if that is her legacy and the footprint that she leaves on the world, then that is a wonderful thing.
Mueller had been held hostage by the Islamic State since 2013 and was allegedly killed by a Jordanian airstrike over the weekend. Senator Boxer said the aid worker was selflessly devoted to serving those in need. The LAUSD board is voting today on whether to pressure their contracted food companies to follow fair labor laws. The United Farm Workers Union and its members from the Garowin Farming Company are protesting unfair wages. Garowin Farming, the current fruit vendor for LAUSD, is accused by its workers of providing poor working conditions and unfair compensation.
Our goal is to look for the support of LAUSD board members. We are confident that they are going to support us and that they are going to send a very strong message to these organizations and companies that are living off the farm workers and the farm laborers, to tell them to respect them, to pay fair wages, and to respect the law.
The school board voted 6-0 today to pass the resolution. The district could use contract negotiations to pressure the fruit vendor into compliance with state and federal labor laws. Garwin has said it pays the highest wages in the industry. A decision today in favor of the union might not be considered a victory for all Garwin farmers. A report in the San Diego Union-Tribune says that most workers are actually trying to terminate their UFW representation. Southern California's drought was called to attention today at the Los Angeles Board of Supervisors meeting. The board supports raising the penalty for excessive water use from $100 to $500. Although there is no water policing force hired by the government, the board encourages people to report anyone seeing wasting water. Representing the 4th District, LA Supervisor Don Knabe recommends reporting water wasters to help solve the problem.
Somebody that washes their car three times a day or, you know, five times a week or something like that, somebody may say, I think they're breaking the rules kind of a thing. This isn't to pit neighbor against neighbor. This is to sort of do the right thing because we're in the middle of a very serious drought.
The board has tabled the vote but plan to unanimously support the measure at a later time. BuzzFeed News is interviewing President Barack Obama today. Simon McAwee spoke with members of the USC community to see what they think.
Today, BuzzFeed snagged an exclusive interview with Barack Obama, something out of the ordinary for a website known more for cute cat pictures than hard-hitting political journalism. But some people, like USC student Hank Rubenstein, were skeptical about how effective the interview would be.
I don't look at BuzzFeed as a credible media news source. It's more entertainment value. So, I mean, I'm not quite sure what he's trying to get out of that. If he's going on there to crack a few jokes, then yeah, I mean, and maybe talk about a little policy, I think that would be good.
On the other hand, Michael Zenos, a communication science professor at the University of Wisconsin, thinks that politicians who use social media creatively could have a leg up in coming elections.
If there is a candidate who is savvy about reaching young people where they are, which is, as we know, in online networks and various kinds of digital media, that candidate will have an advantage in terms of turning out young people as supporters.
Obama has long been at the forefront of mixing politics and social media, and the success of his BuzzFeed interview could largely determine whether other politicians follow his lead. Simon McAwee, Annenberg Radio News.
If you've ever wondered about the origins of curious words and phrases, here's Stephanie Case with today's Root Source.
Now, here's a word you hear in your car.
Hazard reported ahead.
In golf, if you're unlucky.
Oh, right into the hazard.
And maybe if you watch a lot of 80s TV.
Own all 7 seasons of The Dukes of Hazard now on DVD.
The word hazard has a hazy history. Its root comes from the Arabic word al-zar, which means the die, as in a pair of dice. Playing dice was risky, a game of total chance, and if you bet your entire fortune, possible peril. When Christian crusaders hit Jerusalem in the 12th century, they learned the Arabic game and were hooked, and brought it back with them, changing al-zar to hazard. Hazard got so popular, Chaucer mentioned it in the Canterbury Tales. Today, we still play hazard, we just call it craps. So next time you push your luck at the craps table, watch out, because it might be hazardous.
Men's briefs, the old snug fitting style of underwear, are making a comeback. Matt Levin has the report.
30 years later, and it looks like Marty McFly is still a trendsetter.
I've never seen purple underwear before, Calvin.
Calvin, why do you keep calling me Calvin?
Well, that is your name, isn't it? Calvin Klein? It's written all over your underwear.
After decades of sagging behind boxers and other types of underwear, briefs, that most ancient and snug form of men's undergarment, are making a comeback.
We're clearly seeing a major shift from the looser-fitting boxer shorts that were the big part of the growth of the men's underwear industry to the brief business.
That's men's underwear retail guru Marshall Cohen. According to a report released by his market research firm NPD, brief sales are up 23% from last year, which is kind of unprecedented.
Traditionally, the men's market has been like the Rock of Gibraltar. It doesn't move. men typically will buy the same item year after year after year.
Cohen says millennials are favoring briefs partly because of the popularity of skinny jeans.
As for baby boomers, historical shifts in household gender roles are at play.
More men today are buying their own underwear than ever before.
To be clear, we're not talking about boxer briefs. Those own 40% of the market and are by far the most popular men's underwear. We're talking about tidy whities.
We don't even use that word tidy whities because it's not even our vocab over here. We just say hip briefs and people want to buy them and they buy them. So.
Raul Reveles is a sales manager at a Calvin Klein underwear outlet in the City of Commerce, and he knows his product. So you've tried all the underwears?
All of them.
So you've tried the thong?
No, except the thongs. I haven't tried the thongs. I totally forgot all that one. Not the thongs.
Because you said you tried all the underwears, yeah. Raul.
Not that one.
It's okay if you have. I'm not saying...
Okay, fine. There was one. It was my 21st birthday weekend in Vegas. I had to try it on, and it was really comfortable. I mean, it had a thick band, really good, you know, and it's my party underwear. So, you know, you have to go big in Vegas, right?
Is that true?
Very true.
Raul says the trend of men branching out and trying new underwear is true. He sees it every day at his store, which means that age-old dividing line between men, boxer guys versus briefs guys, doesn't really hold anymore. When somebody walks into the store, can you tell by just his outward appearance and his body language what type of underwear he is currently wearing?
You know what? I have not figured that out yet. Only reason why I say this is because we get random underwears. Like I said, we carry everything. So, yes, you'll probably have a guy like coming in that wears hip briefs, but he ends up walking out with trunks or boxer briefs.
Reporting this story, I couldn't help but be disturbed, and not just by the imagery of Raul's 21st birthday party. Underwear used to be a mindless choice for men. You figured out what was comfortable, and you stuck with it for the long haul. Now it seems like grown men are having an underwear identity crisis. But, reassuringly, there is one man I know who firmly knows who he is and what undergarment he wears. One man whose underwear has and will remain tight and white, now and forever.
Your mother and I never had any problems conceiving. And even though that I'm not in boxers.
Wait, why don't we cut this off? Let's just leave it there and let the viewer imagine. My dad has worn tidy whities from JCPenney since the Eisenhower administration, and he's never thought about trying on anything else.
It's very simple as to why I'm still wearing tidy whities. When I was dating your mother, I still was wearing tidy whities, and then she saw me in tidy whities, and she never said a negative thing about tidy whities.
There's also another, more pragmatic reason.
Then I looked at the other underwear, the designer underwear. You get like one underwear for $18. It's like, yeah, f*** that.
But maybe the most compelling reason my dad never changes his underwear is because if he did bring home something different, he'd have to suffer the consequences. So, Dad has been wearing the same type of underwear for how long?
Since I've known him.
And what would your reaction be if he's bought new underwear? Like if he came home with like boxer briefs or boxers?
What's wrong with him? I have his cognitive skills tested.
So you would think it was early onset Alzheimer's.
Yeah, because he doesn't change. He doesn't change. No. Unless some other woman said I have to hate your underwear.
For Annenberg Radio News, I'm the person raised by these people.
One California woman has taken action against author E.L. James, claiming her 50 Shades of Grey brand of sex lube underperforms. Unhappy customer Tanya Warkel says the product's packaging, which promises enhanced orgasms and stimulation, is misleading. Her class action suit seeks a full refund for anyone who purchased the product in the past 4 years. 50 Shades of Grey opens this Valentine's Day weekend. That's it for this Tuesday. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Maya Williams.